listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Matthew 7. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, "Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with a speck in your friend's eye.
About 20 years ago, I noticed this pretty cute girl started coming to our church. And I didn't know much about her, but she got my attention. But there was a problem that I had, because I noticed that after church, she would immediately go out the back and get her phone out and make a phone call. And I thought, why is she getting out of church so quickly and going to make this phone call? So in my head, as sometimes we do, I started to race ahead to some conclusions. I thought, maybe she's ringing her boyfriend and, you know, he's going to come pick her up and they're going to go party. Maybe that's what she's doing. Or maybe she's ringing her friends and saying, let's go out clubbing, you know, it's Sunday night, let's go. So in my head, I decided that this is probably what this girl was doing. She was probably either going out to party or hanging out with her non-Christian boyfriend. Well, it turns out that was Tara, so yes, I'm not telling another story here. But turns out she wasn't going night clubbing, she wasn't catching up with her boyfriend, she was going out to ring her mum to get a lift home. Judging is dangerous. I don't know if you do it very often, but forming opinions when we're on the outside, when we don't have information, when we don't know the whole story, can be a really dangerous thing. Probably all of us are guilty of making a really bad judgment call at some stage. We might have said or thought something that we soon realised was either stupid or disrespectful or arrogant or dangerous, or maybe all four of them at the same time. I remember a few years ago when we lived in Melbourne, I was listening to sports radio one day and these two footy blokes were having a discussion about the grand final or something, and the conversation turned to Andrea Bocelli, which you're getting into dangerous territory. Footy guys are talking about Andrea Bocelli. All you young guys are looking at me blank. Maybe the older ones know who Andrea Bocelli is. But they were having a conversation and one of the guys said, "I can't stand that guy, he's so full of himself." And the other guy said, "What do you mean he's full of himself? What makes you think that?" And he goes, "Oh, every time he sings, he closes his eyes as if he's so in love with his voice." The reason Andrea Bocelli closes his eyes when he sings is because he's blind. So quite often his eyes are closed. And so he'd formed an opinion that this guy was full of himself when it turns out he was blind. That was, so we're getting in some dangerous territory there. And maybe we've all been guilty of making a bad call like that. I shared my example with Tara. Imagine if I ran away with those thoughts and conclusions and just totally wrote her off. That might not have been a good thing for me. Judging others can be dangerous, it can damage people, and it can damage relationships. It can mean some relationships never start. I think I've shared before about my friendship with Sam. When I first saw Sam, I didn't think there was much there to pursue in a friend. But as I got to know him, saw a completely different person. When we judge, it can fracture relationships. It can even bring an end to lifelong relationships. We see throughout our world that many people groups can't connect because of preconceived ideas or judgments. We see the religious judge the non-religious. We see the rich judge the poor. We see one race judge another race. We see one culture judge another culture. And yes, absolutely, that does go both ways as well. But a lot of the problems we have in this world are because of judgments of people not actually going and understanding the other person's perspective, not walking a mile in their shoes. So judgment goes both ways, and none of it is helpful. Judging doesn't really bring change. All of us judge at times to varying degrees. I would say a lot of us have probably been judged very wrongly at some point in our life as well. And for some of us, being judged may have seriously impacted you. It might be in the short term, it caused you a lot of pain and hurt, or in the long term, maybe it's something you battle constantly, people judging you. You might have been judged because of your race, your age, your family, your appearance. You might have been judged on those criteria or many other things as well. People may have written you off completely, or they may not have given you a fair opportunity. So judging others is clearly not a good thing. And I've found that being a judge of a person can be really hard. To judge if someone, who someone is, what they're about, it can be really hard to judge people off of the limited information that we have. I was thinking about those people that get paid for a living to do this. Judges. If we can bring the PowerPoint up, and I know we're having a few PowerPoint problems tonight. It seems like our software for our overheads expired today. So a little bit of a hard thing to fix on the spot. So well done, guys, for pushing through. What a happy bunch of people there. Look at them. Wouldn't that be an awesome party to go to? That's the American that's a little bit old now because I think Ruth Ginsburg there has passed away. She doesn't look like she was having a great time at that catch-up either. But being a judge is really difficult. I'm not sure if you know what's required to become a Supreme Court judge in the US, but these people up on this board went to elite schools, and it looks like they went to elite schools, doesn't it? They are viewed as elite minds. These are people who have many years' experience, quite often minimum of about 20 years' experience in a federal court. So when they have to judge a case, they're provided with heaps of evidence. They have witnesses, they have lawyers who are speaking on behalf of their clients, and the judge has to sit there and listen to all of this information, the good, the bad, everything gets laid out in front of them, just pages and pages and pages of documents. They have to remove emotion or prejudices as much as possible and make a judgment. And guess what? They get it right every single time. No, they don't. These are the elite minds, the elite judges in our world, and they still get it wrong. They're trying to make the best decision they can with the evidence available, but quite often some important information is missing. Some key evidence has been left out. If you were on Netflix and all of those things, you know there's enough TV shows on there to last you a lifetime to watch about stories about wrongful convictions, shows like Making a Murderer and shows like that. They're amazing, the stuff that gets missed out and greatly impacts someone's life. So judging is so hard and so fraught with danger, yet we all do it. We all do it. So today isn't about me saying to everyone, stop judging. This is an area of my life that I've got totally under control and I can really give you some valuable tips, because I was brought up in a house where I heard that person's stupid, that person's an idiot, that person's a no-hoper. I heard those things constantly, not about me, towards other people, but I just constantly heard these themes. And even sitting around watching the TV, oh, look at that guy, how horrible he is. Oh, that guy, he's hopeless. Oh, he's so ugly. I heard that stuff constantly. So it's kind of been in my environment for a long time, and it's a battle, and it's an ongoing battle. But we're going to really look into this verse that Effie's read and really try and see what Jesus is saying. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the things that Jesus said that they're a bit strange, but we're going to try and delve into them and see if there's a meatier lesson there. And I've said many times that we can look at a scripture and on face value, we think we know the lesson. If we hear this, we know that it's just, you know, be careful. Sometimes you try and judge someone else, but maybe you've got bigger problems yourself. This lesson is much deeper than that. And as I prepared for this message, I just kept finding more and more things to talk about. And I honestly believe you could do a 2-month series just on this message, but we won't. We're going to compact it tonight. But if we look at the story, it, context, as we say, is always important. And this is at the tail end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus focuses in across 3 chapters of Matthew on a whole bunch of things. He looks at marriage. He looks at those who wrong us. He looks at the poor. He looks at other believers. He looks at anger. He looks at forgiveness. He looks at our devotional life, and he looks at God's provision. So a bit of a mishmash of themes there, but there are a lot of them that are focused on considering our attitude towards other people. Clearly, Jesus is saying this is something that we need to spend some time on and really think about how we view others. So we've read that verse, and let's just have another quick look at it again. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Actually, we'll just stop right there. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. So Jesus comes out strong. Don't judge, or you will be judged. Here he's making a very clear link between if you judge other people, expect them to judge back. And not necessarily directly with one person. I think it's kind of like a collective, that if we judge other people, expect there's other people judging you. I don't know if you've ever had that thought where you're around people where they gossip about their friends and they talk about, oh, this person did this. And then sometimes you realise they probably do this about me to the other people. So if we're judging other people, quite often it's going to be coming back at us in another way. And I think Jesus is making a very clear link between the two. Now, I must admit, until this time that I read this scripture, I used to think that this was actually being talked about, that God, that every time that I judge someone badly, God was going to come down on me even harder. I've realised that's very wrong. That's not there theologically. That doesn't actually make sense. But you can see that the link here is between people. Okay, it's very clearly between people. I don't know if you've maybe had that same perception. Maybe it's just me. But I used to read that and think that that was talking about that God's going to judge me hard for every time I judge someone else. But I think the real lesson there is the way that you judge others, that's how it's going to come back to you as well. Jesus says here, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So he's saying, if you rarely judge people, you'll probably find that not many people judge you. But he's saying, if you regularly judge others, they'll probably regularly judge you. That's something to think about. Then we get on to eyes and specks of sawdust and planks of wood. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? So one thing I've learnt reading this story and reading some of Jesus' parables and the other things that Jesus said is there is no such thing as Jesus just randomly picking out items or objects to talk about. Everyone is there for a very clear purpose. And as we study scripture, it's good to look really into detail. Why did he pick eyes? Why has he focused on eyes, and why is he focused on sawdust and planks of wood? There is always a purpose to what Jesus says, the objects that he uses, the words that he uses. And for us in our day, pieces of sawdust and planks of wood aren't a great reference point. This isn't a regular problem that we face, is it? Like, we're always getting sawdust in our eyes. So we kind of look at this and go, this is a bit old-fashioned or whatever, but we have to understand what was happening in that time. You think about that land they were living in the Middle East. There was lots of sand, lots of dust, things were blowing around regularly. Dust, sand, specks of wood, I guess, especially if you're a carpenter, as Jesus was, maybe he had this problem regularly, having sawdust go into his eye. And it would have been a nightmare to deal with. Guess what? They didn't have glasses back then. If you were working in the wood shop, you didn't have safety glasses either. So these things didn't exist. So this would have been a problem that people face regularly. You also didn't have easy access to water. You used to go to wells to get water. So you didn't just go to an eyewash station or something like that and, you know, just go under there and put it in. It was pain. If you got something in your eye, it was a real problem to deal with. You needed help. If you got sawdust in your eye, you needed help. And here we see the intention of Jesus. This is where it gets really interesting. First of all, the lesson is built around the eye. Human eyes are incredible. And God spent a great amount of time, I believe, in the design, or maybe he just did it really quickly because he's really smart. But the eye is really interesting how it's designed. Some things you might not know about the eye. There's a big bone about covering about 50% over your eye. That gives it a huge amount of protection immediately. Your eye is recessed under up here so that it's already got some natural protection. Then you've got eyebrows, which you wonder, why have I got eyebrows? Well, the eyebrows protect sweat from getting down into your eye, which is another problem. Salt gets in your eyes. It's a real pain to deal with. Eyelids. Eyelids are amazing. We think of them as a pain because they fall on your face and people tell you you've got them on your face and all that. But eyelids are amazing. They're actually a huge filter that protects a lot of things actually getting inside the eye. But they also act as sensors. So they're actually what tells your eye to shut. When there's a foreign object coming, your eyelids are basically what sends off the message. Sorry, your eyelashes are what sends off a message to your brain to close your eyes. So this is really interesting. So he's surrounded us with things to protect us from getting stuff in our eye. Just like he's surrounded you with things in your life to protect you from specks, from planks of wood getting in your eye. So the link here is really, really interesting. He's given us his word, he's given us his Holy Spirit, he's given us other believers that are there to help us from getting specks in our eye, planks of wood in our eye. I'm talking metaphorically here. We're talking about things coming into our life that aren't of God, sin, and he's put a whole bunch of things there to help us when those things are a threat of coming into our life. You think about environments where you're likely to get stuff in your eye. Okay, if you're walking out in the open, if you're in a workshop, something like that, you're more likely to get stuff in your eye. Just like in life, sometimes we plant ourselves in environments where it's almost like we're asking for sin to come and tempt us. So the environments that we place ourselves in, we need to be very mindful of. So Jesus starts here with, why do you look at the speck of dust in your brother's eye? Now, like I said, this verse really came apart for me as I broke into this. And I started to think about, why did he say, why do you look at the speck of dust in your brother's eye? And it got me thinking, it's not easy to notice a speck of sawdust in someone's eye unless you're looking for it, unless you're looking closely for something that's wrong with someone. It's very interesting, okay? So this isn't an obvious thing. A speck, a plank of wood is obvious, but a speck of sawdust isn't obvious unless you're looking very closely and it's almost like you're honing in on it. And I read that and went, wow. Unless I'm looking hard, I'm not going to notice sawdust in my brother's eye. But you know what? The person with the speck in their eye isn't really the focus of this lesson at all. It's the person with the plank in their eye. When you read this verse, see yourself as the person with the plank. Don't read this verse thinking, I'm the person with the speck, and it's always these other people who are way worse than me that always come and tell me like some problem in my life. Reverse it. See yourself as the person who's got the plank in your eye. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, I don't have a plank in my eye. I'm a good person. I don't have major problems, and, you know, I'm a relatively good person. Well, if that's how you're feeling, maybe you've worked out what the plank is by now. Being humble is really important. And as you read that verse and think of yourself as the person with the plank, that'll really humble you. And then he says, and pay no attention to the plank in your own. And those words gripped me again. Why do you pay no attention? Why do we pay no attention to things? In our life, when we're not paying attention to something, there's a couple of reasons I thought of. We're probably distracted or we're oblivious. Neither of them are really good. If someone comes up to you and says you're distracted or you're oblivious, they're not nice things to be told. But for us, if we don't recognise the plank in our eye, it's either because we're so distracted with other people or we're oblivious to our own faults and sins, and we need really another dose of humility. That's something to reflect on for a bit, but what is there that's in our life that we're not paying attention to? Maybe because we're distracted or maybe because we're oblivious. Yeah, Jesus is using pretty strong language here, but think of what he's teaching. Think of what's at stake. What would a non-judgmental church look like to the world? What would a non-judgmental, because guess what? That's probably the number one thing we're known for being, judgmental. The word hypocrite comes up in a minute. What would a community of non-judgmental believers look like? You know, we've got to ask our question, if anyone walked through that door in this church, would we be comfortable and go and welcome them with open arms? Anyone. Think of some people that maybe make you go a little bit like that. If they walked through the door, would you judge them or would you go and put your arm around them? That's a challenge. That's what Jesus is getting to here. It's strong language and it's strong imagery, but the picture of someone walking around with a plank of wood in their eye is comedy. I don't know if you've picked that up. You might look at this and think this is a really old, dated reference, but I can guarantee in the day, they would have been slapping their thighs, bent over laughing. They would have thought this was so funny. Now, you're all looking at me like, it's not funny. Well, I tell you, in that culture, with the type of humour they have, they would have been laughing their heads off. For young people, this is before memes, this is before GIFs, this is before Adam Sandler. Like, it was a different style of humour back in the day, but they would have thought this was hilarious, okay? It's meant to exaggerate, but powerfully display how we look when we judge others. Now, my friend Rod helped me out with this, because you might not be able to picture what it's like to have a plank of wood in your eye. You can't really help people when you've got a big plank of wood like that in your eye. So he's telling us, hey, turn the focus back on you. You might have problems 100, 1,000, a million times bigger than the person that we're focused in on. Jesus is calling us in this scripture to be humble. He is placing huge value on humility. It is a real requirement of his followers to be humble. It makes it very hard to evangelize. It makes it very hard to help people if we're not humble, if we don't say, if not for God's grace, there but I go. That's an important thing. So he wants us to pay attention to the planks or plank in our eyes for our benefit and for the benefit of others. Jesus is saying that we can't properly help people when we've got planks of wood in our eye. In fact, we can be harmful. When you've got a plank in your own eye, you can't see clearly to help others. And when we've got a plank-sized sin in our life, it obstructs our vision. It obstructs how we see things. And that's the other thing that Jesus is trying to really get to here. If you've got that in your eye, how can you see? Like, what kind of worldview, what kind of insight are you going to have if that's stuck in your eye? That's what he's trying to get to. It's going to impact us and harm our ability to really help others. Think about some of the sins that maybe Jesus is talking about, some of the things that he covered in the earlier verses. If we struggle with anger, it massively impacts how we relate to others. If you've got anger, sometimes people can't even bring themselves to go and talk to someone because they're so built up with anger. If we've got anger, it's going to massively impact how we see things, how we forgive, how we love. If we struggle with sexual sin, it's going to negatively impact how we relate to others. If you're married, it's going to affect your marriage. If you relate to the other gender, it's going to impact how you relate to the other gender. If we struggle with the love of money, it's going to impact our generosity. It's going to impact our hospitality. So having these things in our life really impacts our ability to see things clearly, to see things how Jesus would see them. So Jesus is saying pretty bluntly here, how can you help someone deal with the speck-sized struggles when you've got a plank-sized struggle? Now, I'm not saying here that we need to avoid confronting things in life, but when we see something that's not right in someone's life, we need to be very careful about how we approach it. We need humility, we need wisdom, we need compassion, we need lots of prayer, because he's saying you can do damage to someone if we're not all of those things. So judging is making a decision about someone when we perhaps don't know the full story and perhaps maybe just want to get our point across, maybe just to feel ourselves, make ourselves feel a little bit better, maybe feel better about the way our life is going compared to someone, how someone else's life is going. And when we see someone struggle or go through a difficult time, you know, our first response should be our heart pours out for them, we want to help them. But when we're judging, it's actually trying to elevate ourselves to say, I'm doing better than that person. It's not judging if there's a massive issue that someone has and we genuinely want to help rather than gossip or shake our head if we come alongside them privately and talk through those things. But when we do it the wrong way, then it's judging. So Jesus finishes here with saying, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. The two words that stand out to me there, see clearly. Are we still on the same slide? There we go. Then you'll see clearly. Seeing clearly is really important. That will allow you to see what to do. That will allow you to see how to do it. That will allow you to see when to do it. So the process, the method, the timing is all really important when dealing with sensitive matters. If we try and help someone get something out of their eye and do it clumsily, we can do real damage. If you've got a plank in your eye and you try and help someone get something out of their eye, it may not go well, as we've said. We really need to remove our planks so that we can see clearly to help other people. And that's a huge part of it, to really focus on how can I help this person? Well, sometimes it's first about making sure I'm coming at this with the right perspective, with the right heart. The illustration is actually quite beautiful when you look at it. We see a fault with a brother, and rather than judge, we humble ourselves. We seek the Holy Spirit's help to deal with our plank, and then we are freed and can see clearly to help them with the speck in their eye. So our focus as Christians, before we worry about judging, before we worry about telling other people how to live their life, should be to look at the planks in our life. And we all have them. Yeah, we all have them. But how do we remove them? That's the hard part. We be honest with ourselves. We look in the mirror. We ask the Holy Spirit to show us those areas of our life that maybe we're distracted by, maybe we're oblivious to, maybe those parts of our life that we haven't truly died to self on. As Pastor Joe shared last week, and that was a powerful message last week, if you weren't here, go and listen to the podcast. It was a really great message. But he said, you know, we don't just try. We don't just try and be less judgmental. We don't just try and be kinder. We have to ask for the Holy Spirit's help and basically allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. His Holy Spirit's already there. We just have to get out of the way and just say, Holy Spirit, help me here, and allow him to do his work. there's good seed in us. We have to just let it grow, allow it to grow. When we feel prompted to judge, let's assess our motives and turn the spotlight back on us. What's in my eye that's going to mean maybe that I don't see clearly to help, and that what might be harmful in how I help? Sin damages our ability to see things clearly. It damages our ability to see people clearly. It damages our ability to see the world clearly. We've got planks, we've got to deal with them. So that's my question tonight. What planks are you dealing with that you need Jesus to help remove tonight? Die to them. Die to them. They're only going to bring harm. And as we remove them, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work on them, then we're freed to be able to help others maybe a little bit better, to be able to help people carefully. So to summarise, why shouldn't we judge? If we judge others, we're going to be judged in the same measure. We have our own planks to deal with first, and it can do real damage. Jesus lives this. He isn't sitting up there judging us. Sometimes we have created a Jesus that's what he does, that he's sitting up there, and every time we stuff up, every time we make a mistake, he's like, oh my goodness, he's done it again. He's done it again. This guy, he has one good day and then he stuffs up again. He just can't get it right. That's not what Jesus is doing. He's there cheering for us. He's there saying, just turn to me. Just open up to me. I love you. You're accepted. That's what he's doing. He doesn't judge us. He just wants to save us. He wants us to come to him and be holy in relationship with him. He wants to help free us from the specks right through to the planks in our life. He wants us to be free to enter into all that he has for us. He's died for our sins so we could be a new creation, so that we could be freed from these planks that maybe have been there our whole life that we've never really truly handed over or allowed ourselves to be freed from. He's called us to be dead to sin, to be dead to the flesh, and just to be living in his spirit. And he came so that we can be freed from those sins, we can be freed from those planks that are in our lives. He also came so that we can be freed from the judgment of others, that we worry about what other people think. Our focus should really be just on what he says. And he's also freed us that we can be freed. He's also come so that we can be freed from judging others as well. So these might have spoken to you. I hope they have. I hope the Holy Spirit has spoken something to you to look at. And we're just going to pray in a moment. And I'm just going to just give you an opportunity just to respond to the Holy Spirit in one of those areas. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this word that you've given us. And Lord, we just see there's so much richness in this verse. Lord, you're not just saying in this verse that don't be hypocrites, don't look at other people's problems when you've got bigger problems of your own. Lord, this message is so much richer and deeper than that. Lord, you want us to be humble. You want us to be humble before you. And you want us just to allow your spirit to reign in our life. And you don't want us to see us battling with planks in our life, Lord. You want us to be freed from those things. And Lord, you really do want us to have relationship with others, that we can really help them, that there is no judgment, there is only love, acceptance, compassion, Lord, for others. And Lord, we just really pray for each and every person here tonight that maybe knows that this is, maybe this is the number one plank for them, judging others, just that critical nature, Lord. I just pray for anyone who's feeling that word is for them tonight, Lord, that they'll just be freed from it. Lord, not through trying to be a better person, by trying to be a nicer person, but Lord, just allowing your spirit to reign in their heart, just allowing your spirit to move. And Lord, I just pray that for each person that's feeling that challenge tonight, that their eyes are truly open just to see other people and to see our world in a completely different view, just to see what's happening around them very differently, Lord, to see situations as you see them. Lord, I just want to pray for anyone who's here tonight who's going through damaged relationships over judgment. Lord, people have been hurt by people judging them a long time ago, and that hurt is still there today. Maybe there's people just going through challenges now where judgment has really hurt them and has really set them back. Lord, you are a healing God, and it's only through just us opening ourselves up to you that we can be healed from those things. Lord, I just pray for anyone who's really been a victim of judgment, Lord, that they will just be freed tonight, that they would just allow themselves to be ministered to by your Holy Spirit. Lord, you understand that. You empathize with that, Lord. You were judged on this earth, Lord. You just constantly face people judging you. Lord, you came here with pure motives and people questioned you and doubted you and doubted who you were. So, Lord, you understand everyone who's dealing with that today. Lord, just for each of us who've got other planks in our lives, Lord, other sins that we struggle with, other challenges that we're facing, Lord, that really do hold us back from entering into everything that you've got for us. And they really hold us back from truly being able to help others, Lord. Lord, just I pray that just as we're sitting here now, Lord, you would just make those things very clear and very obvious. And Lord, we would just allow them to go. Lord, we will just be freed from those things tonight. Lord, if we've not been paying attention to this stuff because we've been distracted, we've become distracted by other things in life, we've become distracted by other people, we've become distracted by blaming, Lord, I just pray that you'll make those things very clear to us right now, those things in our life that are planks that really are holding us back from everything you've got for us and really holding us back in relationships as well. And Lord, for those things that maybe people are just completely oblivious to, Lord, that they're just pushing on in life with blind spots, Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit will just reveal to each one of us now, Lord, maybe some of those blind spots we've got in our lives as well. Lord, just for anyone who's struggling with having been judged as well, Lord, I just really pray that they really listen more to what you say about them and who you say they are, Lord, not to listen to those voices around them. Lord, just to really hear what you're speaking and saying into their lives. Lord, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for, Lord, the challenge that's there, Lord, and we can hear a word like this and we can feel a bit discouraged. We can feel that, oh man, I do this badly. But Lord, that's you don't just stop things there, Lord. As we just open our hearts to you, Lord, as we just humble ourselves, Lord, as we repent, Lord, forgiveness comes. Change follows, Lord. And I just really pray for anyone who's really struggling with that tonight, Lord, I just pray that they just open themselves up to you, they open their heart to you, and Lord, just have that forgiveness that you've given. Lord, you came and died on the cross so we could be forgiven. Lord, you don't have a memory for these things. Lord, as we repent, as we say we want to change, Lord, it's a new slate for each and every one of us. Lord, I just pray for anyone who's just facing those challenges tonight, Lord, just heal them now. Lord, just come and minister to them right now. Lord, we thank you for this time together. I just pray that, as a community of believers, we can really be around each other to encourage each other, to nurture each other, to love each other. And Lord, just help us to remember your word, that this is a really important thing for your church to get, to not judge others, but to just have a real open heart to others, just to be loving and accepting and empathetic, and really just to be very careful about how we interact with each other. We ask this in your name. Amen.